I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills News with the UK twist. It's Robin and myself, Matt. And now we know the Super Bowl final.
Yeah.
But we're not going to talk that much about it. We just think that the Chiefs got lucky. A few dodgy calls as usual, but hey ho.
I think they have that knack of finding the right play and the right thing at the time, and that's what the very best teams do. There isn't probably much consolation, but losing to the Super Bowl champions in a game where you had the ball with 2 minutes to go, maybe I wouldn't call that a consolation, but I think that gives you an indication of how close we actually are. And then in a funny way, that's actually sort of energized a little bit of my optimism for next year.
Yeah.
After being very, very down, like I think everyone was, when I sort of think, okay, we are going to lose a couple of players in the offseason, a couple of players probably going to retire or move on, but we've still got a good nucleus of some very good players and add a couple more. We need to get fortunate in the draft, but I think we can go again next year.
I mean, and you also look at it, you look at the fact that the Ravens only put 7 points, or 10 points, sorry, 7 or 10? 10.
Yeah, at home, 10 points in the whole game, yeah.
They struggled on offense and defense, and yet you look at how we've played this season, and I don't, and this obviously, we're reviewing it, we're going to review the season, the fact that we didn't really get blown out in any losses, that maybe...
We've only lost by more than one score once in the last 3 years, excluding playoffs, the Bengals game.
Playoffs, yeah. But that shows that if Diggs caught that ball, if Shakir caught that touchdown, if Bass didn't go wide right, then we could be right now talking about the Bills in the Super Bowl.
Yes, I think we'd have had a very good chance against the Ravens, and I don't know if I'd make us favourites against the Ravens, but I absolutely think we could have gone in there and won, especially after having beaten the Chiefs as well with the boost that would have given us, and I would definitely give us a more than a chance against the 49ers as well, and with that momentum, I think we would have had every go, and we're not that far away. And again, you don't want to blame injuries, but God, having Bernard and Milano on the field would have helped.
Yeah.
That you got to think that would have been good for one possession, one stop at least. A bit of help in the run game. So,
I think,
it wasn't to be, but tomorrow's another day.
Yeah, and as you say, we've got reason for optimism. There's more optimism there as well, that the fact that obviously they removed the interim tag from Joe Brady. Yes. Now
the offensive,
and I think I said it on a show a few weeks back. I actually said they need to promote Babich to defensive coordinator.
We're going to give you that one, Matt. You've been trying to hang on to Kyrie Elam for long enough now, but we have to give you. We can't hold that from you. The Babich Patch kid has grown up. Yeah.
Well, no, he's
been great.
Yeah.
Well, it was his two main positions, wasn't it? He was been linebackers coach. And
a defensive back coach.
Defensive back coach. And what are the two strongest suits of our probably strongest positions as well. You saw what Tyrell Dodson said as well when he got it. He's like, the best coach I've ever had. And I know everyone always says nice things about the coach because they're going to have to work for them next year. But there seems to be an awful lot of sincerity. There seems to be an awful lot of, this guy's going to be really good. And a bit of politics perhaps stopping him from going somewhere else. There's no question. Does he call the plays? Maybe McDermott, they do it on committee and McDermott hands it to him. Maybe they go back and forth. He's not a bad guy to learn from, Sean McDermott.
As defensive coordinator,
isn't it? So lot to learn there, but... I think it's a fantastic pick.
I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, obviously, Brandon Bean is at the Senior Bowl, actually talked to reporters. This says he's still up in the air what they're actually going to do regarding it. They're going to talk it out and hash it out. But even if it is just a case that he's just got it in the name only at the moment for the time being. You've got a guy, a young, hungry guy who's actually he's overlooked two of our best positions. Obviously, when he came in, he had Hyde and Poyer. They went on to become all pros. And actually, yeah, and that defensive back unit with Tyrone Johnson coming in, Benford, all that actually showed up. And then moving to linebacker, obviously, you've got Milano. Edmonds had the decent season when he actually went on his last season with Babich there. And then obviously, you've seen the development of Bernard and Dodson this season. And the fact that you've got 21 free agents and the majority of them are defensive personnel on there. You've got a new, younger, up-and-coming coach on there. In a way, it's potentially there for Babich to have like a fresh canvas. In a way, he's now more involved in the senior role. He'll be putting words into McDermott's ear saying, this is the type of defense or this is the type of player I want and all that. Gives him that blank canvas. And even if McDermott doesn't give him the duties this year, but next year he lets it go. It's that learning experience, and it's got something to go on. And actually, build that blank slate, build that unit, which at the moment wants to run through brick walls for him.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's going to be really interesting because he's definitely going to be having input, and as a DC, not just as a position coach. We may well be drafting a safety. Well, certainly looking at a D lineman. I've been that great pastime of the off season, running mock drafts and just seeing who we come out with. He's definitely going to have some input on who he wants to see coming in. We're not going to be able to hold on to all of the players. Maybe we'll talk about that in a second. But it's just that sort of step up for him that I think he probably needs. And yeah, like you say, he doesn't have to take it over from day one. They've maybe learned their lesson from perhaps not having a first-time play caller, that they maybe will stagger it over a couple of years and give him the plays. And he's going to have McDermott standing right next to him anyway. It's going to be an interesting draft, because I think if we can, the pressure's slightly on because I think we need to hit on a couple of picks. But Babich, I would trust to be one of the guys to bring in the raw materials and turn them into superstars.
Well, I'm reading, whilst we're doing this, I'm reading the article that Brandon Bean's done at the Senior Bowl, and obviously saying that they're working things out. I mean, part of the weight is on the Bills are still filling out their defensive coaching stuff, so obviously they need to get...
Oh, yeah, I mean, they wouldn't decide that anyway. They've got to still got to do all the
right and a linebacker coach. But here's a way that you can look at it. It shows that they've got that promote within mentality, that they've done it all the way through. Well, McDermott's done it as best he can all the way through. Obviously, you've gone from having, what was it, Dennison and
Leslie Frazier, wasn't it?
No, his first ever defensive and offensive coordinator.
Oh, it was Leslie Frazier, but I'm sure we can Google it quickly. There you go.
He's gone
£500.
Go on, then.
All right, I'm going to try to Google the series of words. This is fantastic podcasting.
But no, he's gone from two guys with experience and head coaching ability to now letting the youngsters have a look at it. And obviously, Babich is 40, Joe Brady's 35, and it's just good that we can actually do that and really promote and actually reward progress. And to be honest, I could see if this defense actually does turn up even more, I can obviously see Babich becoming a head coach candidate, and I would even say if McDermott goes, that being that Babich could be a front runner for the Bills job. You're trying to groom him in a way.
Yeah, it's a tricky path to run, isn't it? You don't really want to pick your assistant. What would probably happen is that the DC would become a head coach somewhere else rather than take over, unless the team obviously has a really bad dip. But NFL.com and just where's my thing? There's me first. Oh, I don't know where I can find it. Bills. Actually, if I do Bills history of DC, offensive coordinator history. There we go. So, but Leslie Frazier. Yeah, 2017 to do Leslie Frazier was the defensive coordinator for the 2017 to 2022 seasons.
Fair enough.
McDermott hired in 2017. £500. Excellent.
Lucky I didn't bet on anything then.
It was a good job. You didn't put anything up there. Yeah, you'd look really silly.
But I mean, then you switch it to the offensive side. Obviously, it's right that Brady actually had the tag turn, because he showed that he's more of a game manager. He's actually more of a strategic guy. Dorsey was more the X's and O's, draw up plays. He wasn't good in situations.
As a play designer, even the cover one guys, who we always defer to because those guys are fantastic, even they would say when it came to Ken Dorsey, the play design was excellent. It was picking the right play at the right time and as you say, the game managing and doing the right thing at the right moment and getting the sequencing right as well. So he was always those quarterback draws and running back draws up from the shotgun on second and nine and that sort of thing. Might be a perfectly drawn play, but it's the right wrong time to call it.
So I
think, yes, Ken Dorsey is very good. And obviously he's now the Cleveland Browns OC, isn't he?
And I
think he'll probably be all right. I think he might do okay because he'll probably learn from, don't do that because you did that when you were with the Bills and you got fired. So I think he'll probably be okay. But like you say, Joe Brady does seem to be better with the game managing. And obviously with a full off season, he'll probably have a decent go at play designing as well. So
yeah, be really good next year. I mean, it's interesting. I don't know if this is shade at Dorsey or not, but obviously Brandon Bean, again, was talking about Joe Brady on this, and the quote from him was, they started the decision-making process looking at Joe Brady's leadership. He goes, it's more of a CEO job than an X's and O's job. Joe's a smart guy. He's been there's been plenty of coordinators that were super smart X's and O's, but they didn't understand the CEO part of the job, leading that staff, which is what we talked about with Bobby, and then leading the whole side of the ball versus just one position. And so Joe mid-season went from leading three guys to 20-something guys doing the whole offense plus that staff, and maybe that's sort of an indictment on the history of what Joe Brady's had. Obviously, he was passing game coordinator and co-offensive coordinator at LSU. He had the spell as offensive coordinator in Carolina before he was fired. Yet Dorsey's just gone from quarterback coach to offensive coordinator. Hasn't really had that CEO and management style.
And
that's showing in what Brady actually has been able to do in the last eight weeks of the season.
Yeah,
the fact that he was able to manage the defense, he was actually used to plan ahead and actually build a game plan. Okay, some of them we still scratch our heads and thinking, what the hell? But we've got an off season for him to implement his book, because Don't forget, he was actually pretty much using Dorsey's playbook for the last season. And the fact that he actually was able to use Dorsey's book and actually get us going on offense with an off season and two energetic, youthful coordinators now. You could look at a potentially good season with the right moves in draft and free agency to really get them to get it working and to get this and to get over the hump. The only thing that I see as a negative on there is obviously is the special teams coach is still there.
Yeah.
Matt Smiley, and obviously special teams.
Letting too many. I mean, the Patriots got the touchdown all the way back to week one. You got the Jets winning it with the punt return. We'll probably glaze over Tyler Bass's, shall we say, inconsistencies. Somebody's got to be held responsible for that.
Because you saw it with obviously Dorsey. He was the scapegoat this year. Obviously, Frazier last year. Matt Smiley. No one's really had a look at that and actually said anything, but we'll see. There's still plenty of time for this to do. There's still coaching staff that need to be sorted, so who knows?
It's still very early, isn't it? And they'll probably want to get the ducks in a row, getting the offense and defensive coordinator settled first, so he'll keep.
Mm. So I think what... Oh, excuse me. Oh my God, I got a gas today. Hmm. Let's look at the season.
Yes.
I mean, it's been up and down this season. We've actually had good games. We've had bad games. We've had games where you just want to shout, scream, and actually rip
the nearest person. Sob into your jersey. Yeah. It's been bad. Well, there's no getting away from it. It started on the Monday night game. Aaron Rodgers, bizarrely, with obviously Aaron Rodgers going off after four snaps and being off for the season. Which, if you think Bills are unlucky in certain things, that's just absolutely, like, the Jets really were a lot of people's picks. All they needed was a quarterback, and then they get their quarterback with all the off-season drama, and then four snaps in. Fuck me. I do. I'm not a hateful person. I do, honestly. I would really sympathize. If you're a Jets fan, you must really tear your hair out or something like that. That's just not even, you can't even laugh at that. You can only cry. And then Bills started really well, and it was a very good Jets defense, but the Bills got a couple of nice plays, but Josh couldn't hold his head, and they kept coming back in. Absolute wonder play from the receiver to tie it up. And we went down in overtime. So it was a absolute slap in the face with a wet fish to start the year.
I mean, you look at the first slate, and I've been trying to find our predictions we made at the beginning of the season. And obviously, I don't think any of us really predicted that we would actually, in our first five games, we would actually go 3-2.
No, I think we all actually said 4-1.
Yeah,
you never want to predict 17-0, do you? You're also going to have to put a tactical defeat in there somewhere. I predicted. I did. It's a shame, and we may have to go back in the podcast archives, but I did predict we'd lose to Jacksonville in London. So I remembered being 4-1, and I think one of us predicted a loss against the Jets, but I could be the Dolphins. I think it might have been Mark. Loss against the Dolphins.
I don't know.
Because I seem to remember that after five games, we'd all basically picked 4-1, but we'd had a different thing. I don't think any of us had started 5-0.
We'll have to go back. We'll go back, and I'll probably put it up on Twitter as a reminder if I can find it. But you look at those running games. You saw this offense, especially for the Raiders, Commanders, and Dolphins game, really come alight. And you're then thinking, okay, that Jets game was a fluke.
Got it out of our system. Kick on now. 7 or 8-1.
Yeah. And then you get to London where whoever made the decision of actually travelling the Thursday before and all that, and that was just sleep. They just need to be hung, drawn and quartered. And then it doesn't help when you lose two of your best defensive players in one quarter to injury and put you on the put you on the back foot. I mean, yeah, 20...
Having lost 20... Trey White at the end of the Dolphins game the previous week, so from the end of that game to the start, because they both went in like the first quarter as well, didn't they? So you've got like a quarter and a bit of plays where three of your best defensive players, almost the spine of your team, Daquan Jones, Trey White, and Matt Milano, go. And the food was shit, and I will never get tired of saying that. Beautiful stadium, absolutely beautiful stadium. Spurs fans, you got an absolute peach of a stadium, but do something about your food, for fuck's sake. 300 quid, that's bullshit, man.
Yeah, but I mean, the 25-20 victory for the Jags, I think it flattered the Bills more.
Given how bad we were, certainly moving the ball. And it was actually, and again, you have to credit McDermott, the defense kept us in it, and we kept thinking, oh, it's all right, we'll get out of this one. Josh will pull a touchdown out of his arse, and we'll win it by three and just count ourselves lucky. But that never happened. And yeah, we deserve to lose by a lot more. It was a two-score.
Yeah. And then we get to a run where it sort of goes wrong. We start to see a bit of regression from the first 4 weeks, where this off was from weeks two, three, and four onwards, where the offense starts to really regress a lot. I mean, struggle to beat the Giants.
Sputter, as they used to say in the drought era. Sputtering, yes. So we had the Sunday night late game against the Giants that we almost could have lost.
Yeah. Let Mac Jones, who's actually Mac been... Jones,
a Singapore been game.
And then...
And it was so bad that when we went ahead with a minute to go, you just sort of knew that they were gonna beat us. They just seemed to move effortlessly down the field. I've only watched the game kind of semi-on fast forward from our hotel room in Singapore, and it was just bad, really bad. I don't think I want to watch that again. I think we were really bad.
But then
Tampa.
Yeah, and then you just look at the stats from there. I mean, obviously at that point, that's where it started going wrong, where Diggs was having 100-yard games and all that, and then all of a sudden he started dropping out quite a bit. I mean, 70... yards against the Bucks, against the Bengals, which we lost, he had 86 yards, one touchdown. I think that was his last touchdown, I think, of the until God knows when. He had 34 yards against the Broncos. And you're just trying to think, was it the play calling, which in the end most of us actually did agree that it would be. But it's where you come to lie and see what the weak link is, or what you know needs improving. And we now know that going through the season, that it is that reliable number two wide receiver, because Gabe Davis didn't really show up for a bit in the first half, but then went off the boil. And luckily, we had the emergence of Khalil Shakir and, in essence, James Cook
as the season wore on as well, as
backups on there. So would it have been the play calling issue, or would it actually just be the execution of the play? That's what we've always argued in there, and whether that is the reason why we started regressing and that Diggs didn't have the games that we expected him to have. Because to be honest, He didn't face really any lockdown corners. He didn't face a Sauce Gardner. He didn't face a Jalen Ramsey or anything like that. I think the only one he really faced was probably Sertan. Really, that actually could lock him down. So you try and figure out what was the cause of it.
It seems, for whatever it's worth, if you want my two cents, I think it seemed to be a combination of the execution of Ken Dorsey's rather complex but well-drafted play designs. So I think the play designs that he called up worked absolutely brilliantly for the Raiders, for the Commanders, and the Dolphins. But if something's not quite right, you had to execute those plays perfectly. And if you did, the Bills' offense was basically unbeatable. They could absolutely march down the field and they were great. If something started to go wrong, then it knocked the confidence. And feeding back to what we were saying before about Ken Dorsey being a slightly wonky nerd, sort of PowerPoint X's and O's guy, and Joe Brady being a roll his sleeves up, roll around in the dirt guy, if you want to, you know, if you want to sort of, you know, stereotype them. You need a Joe Brady when the offense isn't clicking and you just need to draw up plays in the dirt. If you, perversely, Ken Dorsey probably would have been really good, maybe against the Chiefs in the playoffs, kind of thing. Like, you maybe need like a really complex play to be a quality defense the way that they had. And so I think what happened was, because they weren't executing the plays as well as they have, that dampens the confidence. You could see it in Josh Allen. He's saying, oh, I'm just trying to execute the plays that are called, which they weren't working. I think then players start, it then just sort of almost collapses in on itself. And then when they got rid of Ken, what happened was they sort of reverted back to a slightly simpler call sheet that went to, okay, more runs from Josh, shorter passes, take what they can give you, kind of almost defang Josh a little bit to control the crazy, to stop the turnovers and almost just get back to basics, which was good enough, and then play really good defense to get through. So,
I mean, you look at it, it kind of reminds me of obviously The Longest Yard, the American version with Adam Sandler. Yes. Burt Reynolds is the caretaker. What was it? He was just the oldest inmate there, and obviously drawing plays on the fly and all that. Especially that last one where they were going for the 2 point to win the
It's really well done, isn't it? Because they really respect like the rules of the game and stuff. So it's really
and that's what we kind of saw when we actually when we changed over. I mean, obviously, before we got to there, we obviously had the Jets, where we just turned around and just smoked the Jets in that game, and then we came to the Eagles, which was more gut wrenching the way it happened, but you kind of knew it was going to happen, and this is where we actually started to look at McDermott as whether he actually should be play calling defense as well as being being the head coach. And then that's where it all changed, and Josh Allen got to be Josh Allen with a bit of rein, with a bit of freedom, but still reined in a little bit more.
Yes, yeah, no, he did. I'm glad you passed over the Broncos game and the 12 men on the field, because I know that that's like really annoying as hell, and it especially is when it's 4 o'clock in the morning and it's like your fourth fucking late game in a row, as it seems to have been. But we barely deserved to win that game as it was. Like if we'd just won that game because they'd missed the kick, I wouldn't even have felt that much better about the way the team was going. Yeah, fine, we'd have had one more win, but we were still bloody awful and we still deserved to lose that game.
Yeah.
But yes, you're right. The Eagles game was funny because in so many ways you saw the best of the Bills in the running downfield, but you also saw as well. And when you saw the Eagles moving downfield, you just didn't really ever think they weren't stop them. They just seem to be they didn't have that sort of edge. And yeah, you're right, we're at 6-6. McDermott probably did feel that he was on the line, and then we get the bye week, and then you get obviously the 9-11 Chiefs game, the 9-11 Taylor Swift game, with everything and what seemed to happen. And if this had been America's game and we'd have gone all the way, this would have been the time when, yeah, we all rallied around the coach and then came in and everyone was saying all these things about the coach and people wanted the coach fired. And we all got together and we all gave him a speech and we all rallied behind him, because whatever the desire was, if that article was designed to get rid of McDermott, it failed.
Yeah.
You could see they rallied round. And from that point on, you know, they stopped. What did they stop the Chiefs 3-4 times in the second half? They finally forced them to have punts. they find that the Bills defense woke up in the second half of that game. And you look at the score, 17 to the Chiefs, 10 to the Cowboys. All right, 22 to the Chargers after a bad start and a short week. The Patriots, divisional games are weird. 14 to the Dolphins to close out. That defense really kind of came to life.
Yeah, and I think it was good. I mean, let's say we were playing pretty much playoff football for the last, from that Chiefs game onwards. And that's what... It's testament to what McDermott actually has built in the years. He's come in, he's actually understood what Buffalo stands for as a community, hard-working, blue-collared, and he's installed that year in, year out to anyone, to the guys that are already there, the guys that have come in, the guys that get drafted and all that. And he builds that, like, never say die. We work hard for everything. We work to the final whistle, regardless of the score. And it showed that they were all working together to dig each other out. And obviously, all season we had narrative of Diggs not being a team player and all that. But yet, you see him every time they go to him, you see him jeering up. Okay, he gets a bit angry, but. Everyone always says that angry is angry because he's angry at decisions. Maybe it's a passionate angry.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it absolutely is. And you can see that the players were not only playing for McDermott, but playing for the values that he's been preaching, stay humble, stay hungry. I mean, what is Coach Jeff Reinbold, friend of the show, always say about adversity doesn't build character, it reveals character.
Yeah.
Saw just how many good players that we've got that were willing to fight for the team, for the city, for the coach, and that was a big part. You know, the comeback against the Chargers, holding on against the Patriots. Those were two games we would have lost. Those would have been, you know, Broncos and Bengals games, or Broncos and Jaguars games, and we won them.
Yeah, and then you just look at that last play, and obviously as we mentioned earlier, the emergence of the unsung, like as in Shakir, Kincaid, and all that, who really came into their own, and it looks a planned future, a good future. Maybe we had a bit of luck with a couple of calls, a couple of the games as well, especially the Chiefs game with the Tony offside. Kind of lucky in the Chargers game, and possibly the other couple of games on there, but
very unlucky against the Eagles, unlucky against the decisions always even themselves out more or less.
But you look on the offense, as I say, at Shakir and Kincaid, but then you look at the defense and the likes of Benford, the trade deadline signing of Douglas, Bernard, Dodson coming in, the younger guys, even Dorian Williams, who most people started to write off even when they got drafted in the third round, saying he was too high, he shouldn't have been a third round pick and all that. And yet he started to prove a lot of people wrong. Yes, he had rookie mistakes. Who doesn't have rookie mistakes? But he's shown that he's really already upstaged Baylen Spector. On there, he's actually upstaged in a way AJ Klein, and obviously Metkovic is more special teams. He doesn't really play defense, but you've seen him actually start improving. You've got a young, hungry team with the odd veterans here and there, and it's what really got us through that period. And then we hit the wild card where we. Pretty much, it took a while, but we eventually dominated the Steelers towards the end, obviously after letting them come back in. But it just shows that, we can win the hard games. We start to lose and potentially lose the hard game, the easy games. But either way, we grind out results.
Yes.
And that's one of the keys to the... to this Bills team, that yes, we get angry at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, when we're actually up two scores and all of a sudden it goes down to 5 minutes left in the first fourth quarter and we're either behind or the team we're facing a like a field goal away from tying or winning the game and all that. But we know that this team will work hard all the time and find a way to win.
Yeah. We just need to I think we've got enough there. And as you mentioned, with the young players that we've got, if you look at, and I'm thinking offensively, we've still got Josh Allen, hallelujah. We've Spencer Brown has emerged as a good right tackle. Not brilliant, but given his reputation, I think he's good. He can keep building on that. Osiris Torrance has been a fantastic right guard addition. We've got James.
We got lucky. He fell to 59.
Oh, it was brilliant, wasn't it? And he was, I mean, I know some people were giving him like first round grades and stuff. And yeah, you can absolutely see that. And fantastic first year. And he would probably get better. He played every single snap. I mean, that's just unbelievable. We've got James Cook, who's now emerged as not only the pass catching and fast running guy, silky running guy. We've got Dalton Kincaid. We've got Khalil Shakir. Defensively, we've still got Matt Milano. We've got Ed Oliver, we've got Russo, maybe want to extend Russo. We've got Terrell Bernard, we've got Tyrell Dodson, we've got Christian Benford, we've got Zill Douglas for another year. We've still got Tyler Rapp, possibly Damar Hamlin. That's not a bad core. To add to. We're going to need to be a bit fortunate in the draft in that we probably need three or four guys to come in and play for us, and we need to decide what we're going to do with free agent signings. We may have to let one or two walk and keep one. That's maybe an interesting question for the off season. I would keep Floyd personally. I don't want to lose Daquan Jones, but I kind of think we may have to because he's going to deserve the money. I think we've got enough players there that we can have another run next year.
Yeah,
another wide receiver, maybe two, and. Safety, D-line, I think.
Yeah, and then obviously we just ignore the Chiefs game because we covered that just last week.
It was if you look at the regular season games, you know we've beaten the Chiefs 3 years in a row now, and that's not a coincidence in the regular season. It's also not a coincidence that they've beaten us. Three of the last 4 years in the playoffs, three playoff defeats to the Chiefs in a row. They have got a way, and I hate to say it, but I think you would have to probably agree that they've got that New England Patriots, Brady Belichick way of finding the right play at the right time. As much as all the criticism that they're due and all the things you want to say about them, they don't make mistakes at that crucial stage. How many dropped passes did the Chiefs have all through the regular season and how many have they had in the playoffs? You know, they've absolutely tightened up at the right time. You don't see Kelsey or any of those players miss. You don't see players not missing tackles or, you know, not covering the passes. And that's the standard that the Bills need to get to. Not complaining that the Chiefs somehow find a way to win, but figuring out that's the level you need to play at in the playoffs to beat them. And I think if we'd had Milano and Bernard and Trey White there, we probably would have. And Chiefs somehow managed to get through almost injury-free and be almost 100% for the playoffs. Don't know how, but
yeah.
That's the standard we need to get to, and we need three or four players in that will do that, which is why I'm a little less worried about players that are walking that may have to walk this offseason and players that may have to retire and move on this season because the players we've had haven't been good enough to win a Super Bowl. So whoever we're bringing in has to be good enough to win a Super Bowl because the players that are walking haven't won us one, as brutal as that is to say.
So
Trey White.
Yeah. I mean, this definitely, we have a few conversations in the off season shows about this with free agency and the draft coming up. What would be if you had one highlight and one low light of the season? What would they be?
Ooh, I think, because it's always the one that you go to, and I'll have to go for my first choice, the Josh Allen sideline throw to Latavius Murray, where he was 0.0003 centimeters from the sideline, falling back, and somehow manages to throw that. And yes, it's a bit of an untidy finish because he fumbles it and it goes out of bounds, but it's still the Bills ball. That he was able to complete that pass was phenomenal. And again, that was actually, it wasn't that late. That was about midnight, wasn't it, against the Chiefs? Because that was the 9:25. So I think it was about gone midnight. So I was just about awake on that. I wasn't quite a matchstick, so around the eyes, keeping my eyes awake. That's probably the play that I will probably think of the season. It was a truly magical throw that just reminds us how lucky we are to have Josh Allen. And I don't really care too much about the turnovers, because I'll take two turnovers for one of those throws.
Yeah. Right. What about a low light?
Yeah. It has
There's
to
too
be
many, too many to choose from.
There are too many. It's the London game, and I will say no more about the quality of the food. But it was the touchdown that I think put the Jags up on 25, where the run defense just disappeared and the Jags guy just almost jogged it in from 20 or 30 yards out. Again, I've not seen that game at all because I saw it live. Mm. It's the only game I've not gone back and watched on Game Pass. I was so disappointed. And that was just it was one of those things. It was like, oh yeah, I think we are actually going to get beat, because that put him at like 25-10 or 25-11.
Yeah.
And that was like, oh, okay, yeah, I think actually we are going to lose. This day really can't get any worse now. But smashing wings though. So that was the orange buffalo wing shout out. Fantastic. I'm not taking the piss. Like, obviously, honestly, fantastic wings. Best part of the day. Everything else was dog shit after that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my low light. What about yours?
Well, my low light is pretty much the play calling, pretty much.
Oh, right, okay, the name of the play. Oh, okay.
I thought it's not a specific play, but play calling as a whole. Like, obviously, with Dorsey, he'd be set in his way on what to play, what to do straight away. Even if it doesn't work, he would struggle towards the end of his tenure to actually adjust. The first few weeks, we saw a really good offense. We're thinking, fuck me, this offense is going to be good this season. Yeah, we then saw it recluse and go back to almost predictable football. And then you flip it on the other side with McDermott, and when we're up by two touchdowns, three touchdowns, all that, we'll go into soft coverage, prevent mode, giving the offense a chance to actually get back into that game and make it nervy. I mean, if he continued to be not over aggressive, but a Steve Spagnuolo, Mike McDonald of the Ravens, who now the Seattle head coach, if he's shown a bit more like them, but keep his principles in there, I think some of those close games could actually be wins, and we could have actually been the number one seed in there, or at least win the division quite comfortably, rather than have to go through a thing. So play calling was my low light. I think
Eagles, Jaguars, and probably Bengals, I think we were probably going to lose, because we had shouts in all three games, but I think there was something about those three games that was a lot. We would have nicked them a little bit. They would have felt very aggrieved not to have won. They would have felt robbed. But there's, you could make an argument we were a 14-3 team that ended up 11-6. Yeah.
Mm. And my highlight is, I would say, bar the game, the whole London experience.
Yeah.
With what's going on, the people I met and all that, obviously didn't get to meet you. We actually,
that's true. I have to put a shout in. Sorry, I'm interrupting. I'm talking over you. Yeah. I know I said it was all downhill after the wings, but actually, I met two absolutely awesome people on the on the Underground, and one of the guys there, and I'm blanking on his name, but he gave me the Damar Hamlin Choose Love towel because he couldn't believe there was like a British Bills fan. I gave him a hug, and there was a lovely lass there. So I was there with the wife. She's a Texans fan, and the wife gave her like a Buffalo like friendship bracelet as well, which really just almost brought me to tears. So it turns out these two people who didn't know each other actually worked near the same hospital in Buffalo that they just actually travelled over. So they didn't know each other, but actually turns out they were actually in the same part of town. So absolutely awesome people. Sorry, I just wanted to get that in case they were listening and thought that I was negging on the whole day, when actually that was actually the best bit of the day.
Yeah, no, that whole week for me was the highlight, with the bus tours, the boat tours, meeting obviously players and ex-players.
You met Eric Wood, was there, wasn't it?
Yeah, I met Andre Reed.
Andre Reed was there.
Obviously being right on the right at front row, right behind the team bench, right by the player tunnel was the experience, and obviously everything else with all the fans that came over from America and across the world that I met was the highlight. But my main highlight of that season was the emergence of the young guys, especially yesterday, especially Shakir, Kincaid and Cook on this offense. You were starting to think at the moment, they're primed for it, but can they actually sustain it over the course of the season? And we saw Shakir do it towards the end, come on stronger towards the end of the season, and both Kincaid and Cook doing it during the season from week one. And it just shows that the future is actually bright for this offense. And with Brady, a young coach who actually can game manage and actually motivate, and actually a chance to implement his own book with a few extra additions, this is an offense that you could see being there for the next couple of years and pushing us hopefully over that hurdle.
As long as you've got Josh Allen and he's got 2, 3, 4, 5 different people to throw to, you're always going to be in any game you play. And with a good off-season, slight change of emphasis perhaps, and different kind of schemes that they might be operating under, but a big off-season, couple extra weapons, you got to think this offense is still going to be good enough for another 3, 4, 5 years, surely.
No, exactly. So let's just give out our awards. I mean, I'll put one up for the whole UK bill, so everyone can vote for it. But who is, in your opinion, your MVP of the season for the Bills?
Well, it's Josh Allen, isn't it? I mean, come on. He is the most valuable player that we have. With him, all is possible.
Okay.
I mean, if we want to have a rule that says you can't name Josh Allen, you have to name someone else, I would say because it's just a given. I mean, who's the MVP of the Chiefs? Who do you think they give that to every year? Yeah, you can't vote for the quarterback. All right, if we say that, I'm going to say Terrell.
No. You can say Allen. You can say
Josh Allen. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Me, I'm going to say, I'm actually going to go different. For me, it's Ted Oliver.
Okay.
He's cool. He's had his breakout. He had his contract extension, and he's had that breakout year. I mean, obviously, he had Daquan Jones behind him, next to him. But he really started showing up and actually being a bit more disruptive, and obviously having the stats of probably the best in pure interior lineman in the NFL. And actually really coming of age shows that, and he was healthy. Yes, he went missing against the Chiefs, but you've got a guy who, for a first round pick back in the day, was actually high hopes were made of him, comparisons made to Aaron Donald. He now starting to show that, and with whoever they bring in as a defensive line, and obviously with Babich as defensive coordinator, you can just see him go from strength to strength.
Yeah, that's a good point. You can just get someone to play next to him, depending on mm-hmm. figure that out. Again, that's another good D line. If you can keep Rousseau, if you can keep Leonard Floyd as well, that's still going to be good for another year or two. Maybe bring in a lineman in the draft.
Yeah,
good pick.
So I'm going to write these down whilst I remember them. And we'll message Mark off the show and actually get him to put his down. But next one is offensive player of the or the offensive MVP.
Offensive MVP that isn't Josh Allen, because we've given the total MVP. Oh,
if you want to use Josh Allen, use Josh Allen. You can use him.
I've only said him once, so offensive. It's most valuable player, not best player.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Osiris Torrance.
Okay.
I'm slightly snookering myself because Rookie of the Year is coming up as well, isn't it?
You can use him as many times. If you want to use him for Rookie, you can use him for Rookie.
I'm going to say most valuable player in that he's played every single snap, and I think we need to acknowledge that with some sort of trophy.
Okay, that's cool. Me, I am going James Cook.
Yeah, okay.
You see without him and what he's actually done. I mean, what is he? He was second in the in rushing or something, or no, second in all-purpose yards behind McCaffrey. He was up there as a 1,000-yard rusher, up there with McCaffrey and Mozart. And the fact that he's actually became a weapon in the passing game. Yeah, he had drops. He had fumbles. But you've got a guy that if you didn't have him in that team, Ty Johnson, yeah, stepped up, but you couldn't really see Murray really taking that spot and all that. And Cook has been one of those that has just been the guy that's been consistent inconsistent during the season.
Yeah. Yeah, good pick.
So defensive MVP.
Well, I sort of let the cat out of the bag there with Terrell Bernard. So I'm gonna have to. It's either Terrell Bernard because of the breakthrough. I remember a lot of people being very sniffy about his pick in the draft, mentioning no names. But I think there was a lot of people who didn't think that one was gonna work. That seemed very wrong. And I remember reading a draft report. So I hadn't heard of him because obviously that was the one that Kyle Brandt announced at the draft, and he was saying because he just had the card in front of him, he didn't know how to pronounce it and that kind of thing. So he was like trying to ask someone. I remember reading a draft report of someone saying that yeah, he's probably only like a fifth round guy, but he's got moved up. But what they said was is that he had this ability to kind of adapt and to do different things, and he'd been playing like multiple positions and he could do multiple different things. And yeah, he was fairly anonymous for the first year, but yeah, my God, has he come to life in year two. And let's just hope him and Milano can have at least good couple more years, because well, Milano's not going to live forever, is he? He's 30 this coming year, so let's hope he can get two more years with those guys at the center of the linebacking core.
I'm kind of agreeing with you on Bernard's defensive MVP. I mean, we got a guy that you didn't even think that in training camp wasn't even taking first team reps. It was mainly Dodson taking first team reps. Bernard was second, third, taking the odd first again. And then you turn out and he's come out and he's actually he's turned out and become a better player. He's been one of the top linebackers in the league with forced fumbles, interceptions, sacks, tackles, and all that lead pretty much near enough up the top. And it's good to actually see that the development and what obviously Babich has done, what this scheme has done to be more friendly towards him. So
honorable mention, I think, for Rasul Douglas. I mean, we're only really evaluating him on half a season, but God, he's been fantastic for us as well. So it'd be interesting to see if he's fine last season. I don't think it was anything too serious. He probably just could have maybe done with an extra week off in the playoffs, but yeah, he's back for next year as well. So Yeah, could look very good for us if we can
keep everyone. But okay, so let's then go with rookie of the year.
Yeah, so I kind of sneaked myself there with Osiris Torrance, and you did ask me to go first, so.
If you want to use Torrance, use Torrance. I
mean, the only problem is the main one I've got is would be Dalton Kincaid. But honestly, I think Dalton Kincaid's had an excellent second half of the season. But actually, if you think rookie of the year, who do I think has actually been a better rookie overall? It probably is Osiris Torrance. Slightly near the end of the season, he seemed to be getting, whether he was running out of steam or rookie wall or rookie ceiling, whatever you want to call it, or maybe people were getting a bit wise to him. But again, I think he'll have an excellent year too. I don't think I could, if it was him versus Dalton Kincaid, as great as the upside of Dalton Kincaid is, I have to evaluate the year, and I'm going to say Torrance.
Okay, I am actually going to say Kincaid. I love Torrance.
Yeah,
I love Torrance. I think he was a steal at 59. I couldn't believe he actually dropped that far. But I am going to go Kincaid for it. It wasn't really that much of a choice. It was between Kincaid and no Torrance, really.
Williams didn't do much. We didn't have a fourth, did we? And then we're into
Shorter was IR. Broker left. Alex Austin went to the Patriots and did quite well there. So it was really between Kincaid and Torrance. But I think Kincaid, yeah, he started off slowly, but he actually showed that he is that reliable game. He's at. He had that one costly fumble, but he's shown that he actually was an instant safety net for Josh Allen. And in my opinion, has kind of become the 1A to Dawson Knox 1B.
He seemed to be taking over the snaps from Dawson Knox. Dawson Knox is not on cheap money. I'll check the over the cap figure, but I think basically you get one more year out of Dawson Knox, and then you can probably cut him with not too much kerfuffle. So I think it makes sense. You play him for another year. He's not a bad guy. He's a good blocking guy. Can catch a bit, but at 14 million, he's an easy cut at the end of the 24 season, isn't he?
We'll come on to that. And the last one is signing of the season.
Oh, well, it's Dougie Raz, isn't it? You gotta.
All right. Douglas.
I mean, given how much trouble we seem to be in with Trey Wright going out and cornerback room looking really, really thin. I still love my guy Dane, but yeah, against the quality opposition, he's not. He comes off second best. You can't really go too far. It's been a couple of others. I mean, I think Linval Joseph came in, did an all right job for a couple of games. Tavis Murray's come in, done pretty well. But yeah, you'd be hard put to beat Rasul Douglas, I think.
Leonard Floyd.
Really? Oh, you go over Lenny. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you come in, obviously. You're expecting Rousseau and Von Miller to really start off. And the fact that Floyd came in like a couple of weeks before the season started and ended up getting double-digit stacks, started making a very impact into the game and all that. Yes, he tailed off towards the end of the season.
I don't remember him because he had a great start, didn't he? But then...
But you kind of think if you didn't have Leonard Floyd in there, you'd be running with the recovering Von Miller after week five. You'd be having Epinesa did step up a little bit, but outside Floyd, you really didn't have that much pressure on there. Rousseau came up and made plays here and there, but there wasn't really that constant threat that Leonard Floyd actually gave you. The only other honourable mention I'd have would actually be Puna Ford, just because I remember the hearty touchdown. Do you know who was the last player, who was the furthest player upfield making the block on the kicker?
Oh, was that Oh, was that Puna Ford who made the final block that let Hartsey through against the Dolphins?
On that kickoff return,
being dangerously close to a hold. So I'm glad he kind of just disengaged just at the right time, because it was.
So he was. That's an honourable mention for that, but it's got to be Lennon Floyd for me. So we'll speak to Mark, get him up, and I'll put it up on the Twitter for people to actually see, and then I will actually put it out on the Bills, on the UK Bills Twitter official form, to see what you, the listeners, actually voted for as these topics. And I think we're going to take a couple of week break, just let Super Bowl go through, and then prep for the off season where we got free agency draft coming up and all that. So don't forget to follow all three of us on our socials. Obviously follow the UK Bills and the Red, White, Buffalo Blues on Twitter, Instagram and that. And I think for Robin, it's myself, Matt, saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for listening. And let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
Anything about work? Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.